Morning, everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord together again. I don't know about you, but my spirit is lifted up and my faith encouraged coming together to sing and pray. Just to hear each other is such a source of encouragement. Praise the Lord. As we look to God's word, I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, or just follow on the words behind me. Chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 17 to 19. And even before I read verse 17, let me just start by just reading chapter 2, verse 1, because it really helps to lead into verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But there was also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves." And then over to verse 17, because Peter then goes on to describe what these false teachers are like. "These men are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just keep your Bibles close to that passage. I did want to also just start with another announcement this morning, as we have lots of wonderful things going on. And this is the Alpha announcement, and Alpha Online, that is, beginning the second week of April on Thursday night, April the 8th, at 7 p.m., we'll be offering the Alpha course online. So again, Alpha Online is a series, it will be a series of interactive sessions that explore the basics of the Christian faith. If you've heard about the Alpha course before, you know it's a wonderful, and perhaps you've taken it, a wonderful way to not only learn about the Christian faith, but it's great to, even if you've been a Christian for many years, get back into it as a refresher of what these what the Christian faith is all about. So we're going to be running it for over 10 weeks, and the Alpha Online allows anyone to explore the Christian faith in a friendly, open, and very informal environment. And so in each session, and again, we're doing it through the Zoom video conferencing way. So that's the platform that we're using. So if you have a computer, a laptop with a camera that works, even a mobile device will work. We'll just send you the link the week of, and you'll be able to click on that for 7 o'clock on that Thursday night, and then join us. So if you're interested, if you have any other questions, just please speak to me, but please sign up in the foyer. There is a little sheet. Just sign up. Your name and certainly your email address, contact information if you're interested, okay? So just spread that word as well. We look forward to starting that April 8th. Let's just take this moment again to just look to God's word in prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for your word that you have given to us to help us understand more about who you are. And Lord, our prayer is that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So as I mentioned, this morning we're continuing in the book of 2 Peter that I just read from. And this book was, again, written by the apostle Peter, one of Jesus' many disciples. And he writes to Christian believers. In the opening remarks of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter addresses it to those who have received a faith as precious as ours. And so right from the beginning, we understand who Peter is writing to, believers, those that have received the precious faith that he has as well. And so the very moment you said yes to Jesus, you have this very precious and valuable faith. And a major theme in this letter is in 2 Peter is Peter's challenge to believers to never stop growing in their faith in Christ. It's a very simple message to receive, but hard to do, isn't it? Continue to grow in your faith in Christ. Now, each of us who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus have this precious faith, which accomplishes so much in our lives. It is a wondrous and life-changing gift from God. This faith of ours is literally the very thing that gets some of us out of bed in the morning, isn't it? This dear faith of ours is truly what gives meaning and substance to each moment of our lives. This precious faith that Peter refers to enables weak and weary people like us to live in confident, living hope, overflowing with the joy of the Lord each and every day. This precious faith of ours also draws us near to the one who is able to give wisdom and save us from our troubles. So we truly do have a precious, beautiful faith that Peter refers to. And every part of this comes from the goodness and righteousness of our Savior and our God, Jesus Christ. He is the faithful one who is the trustworthy object of our faith that makes our faith real, but also makes our faith true. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2 stands in great contrast to the message of chapter 1, which we looked at a number of weeks ago. Well, chapter 1 is about that which is true. Chapter 2 is, again, about that which is false. They're opposites. Chapter 1 is about that which you should add to your faith, growing in your faith, and what you need to do to take those steps to grow closer to God and deeper in your faith. But chapter 2 is the exact opposite. It's that which you should avoid, stay away from, have nothing to do with. Hence the reference to false teachers and how chapter 2 is all about who they are and what and how they're characterized. So this morning is our part 2 of a two-part series. I began last week on 2 Peter chapter 2. And here we again learn that important life lesson as believers that we should never forget is that discernment begins with the Bible and the work of the Holy Spirit. We need those two things every single day of our lives and for the church to grow. The ministry of God's Word, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the more familiar you are with truth, the more familiar you are with God's truth, the more you will recognize error. And asking questions like, what does God's Word say about this? It should always be how we approach those topics and struggles, things that we want to know more about, things that come our way that we need answers for. Well, what does God's Word say? Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes to warn believers, to warn the church about the dangerous influences of false teachers. And these were teachers who, like the false prophets in the Old Testament, would arise within the church in their teaching. They would develop unbiblical doctrines and false teaching, and then they would spread them deceitfully under the appearance of genuine truth. And in so doing, mislead God's people away from faithfulness and into their error. So these corrupt teachers, they deny Christ and were teaching believers that there would not be a final judgment. Peter tells us about this in the first part of chapter 2. In their teaching, they told believers to ignore what Jesus taught about living a life pleasing to God. So you can see how dangerous this is. When their message was, live as you please. You are free to do whatever you would like when it comes to power, when it comes to money, when it comes to immoral behavior. And so sadly, these false teachers were, they themselves, not free at all, but slaves to their sinful nature. Slaves to their bodily impulses. And so that's their message came out of that. And you can see again how destructive that is for the church, even today. In chapter 2, Peter describes in great detail what these false teachers are like. And let me just read to you from verse 9 to 16 in chapter 2. Follow along with me and listen carefully to how he describes these false teachers. And Peter does not hold back. In fact, his language is quite harsh. I'll pick it up at verse 9 of chapter 2. The Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like beasts, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed, an accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. And I'll stop right there. Peter doesn't hold back, does he? A lot of harsh words spoken and how he characterizes what these false teachers were like. Let me summarize again just a few things that I just read to you. First of all, these false teachers, they follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature. And what that means is that instead of living by the Spirit, being Spirit-filled believers, they live by the flesh. They live by their sinful natures, indulging the fleshly desires. That's what they follow. That's what they pursued. Even today, many dangerous beliefs creep into the church that says, you know, it's possible to accept Christ as your Savior while ignoring his claim to his lordship over your life. That he's Lord over your thoughts, Lord over your actions, Lord over how you spend your money, where you go, what you do when it comes to entertainment and pleasure. But they denied that. They separated that. They're also, Peter describes them as having a corrupting presence in the body of Christ, encouraging and approving of sinful behavior. He tells us they despise authority, they are arrogant, they are not afraid to slander God's creation and speak ill of spiritual powers they know nothing about. They blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are brute beasts, meaning here that they are like animals, only following animal instincts. No wisdom, no guidance from God. They are ignorant. They prey on the unstable to join them in all their ways. They are in it for themselves. And again, Peter has given his readers and us enough reason to stay away from these false teachers. And God will take care of them, Peter reminds us. Peter reassures us in verse 9 that the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. So Peter's reassurance to believers is that, you know, our God is a holy God and a just God. He will judge the righteous and the unrighteous as he does today. And a judgment day is coming for these false teachers. They will not escape punishment. And those following them will be punished as well. So at the end of chapter 2, you know, Peter continues to write some harsh words about these false teachers. And these were the verses that I read earlier. And I want us to just settle here for a moment. Again, join me and look at verse 17. Of these false teachers, Peter says, these men are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. You see what Peter, see how Peter describes them in verse 17? First, he says they are springs without water. What comes to your mind when you think of that picture? Springs without water. I mean, they are empty. They have no spiritual water to give. Imagine being in a desert and you're hot and you're tired and you are beyond thirsty. Your goal is to find water and you finally see a spring up ahead. And so you get excited. I'd get excited. Water is finally near. But when you get to the spring, you discover that the spring is dry. And so instead of helping you, the dried up spring makes your troubles even more worse. And so what these false teachers say and how they say it, yeah, it's attractive. There's something about what they say that I'm grabbing onto, but it won't satisfy your thirst in the end. Their words will not satisfy the deepest part of our hearts. And there is only one person who can satisfy the longing and spiritual thirst within each human spirit, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. In John chapter 4, we learn about Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus is not a spring that goes dry. He's the opposite. Jesus knew she needed much more than to just satisfy her physical thirst. This Samaritan woman needed salvation that only comes from God. She needed saving. She needed eternal life. John 17:3 says, "And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." This Samaritan woman began that day as a rejected and hopeless woman, if you know the story behind her. But that day she found her hope restored in Jesus, the Messiah. And he didn't condemn her, but loved her without condition. And after meeting Jesus, her life was no longer the same. She had found living water. And leaving her water pot behind, she had run back into the city full of people who had previously despised her. And she boldly proclaimed, "Come and meet someone who knew everything about my life," as she led people to the Messiah. So what Jesus was offering, what only he can give. He wasn't offering actual water to quench people's physical thirst. He was offering living water that would quench people's spiritual thirst. The Lord knows, just as he knew everything about that Samaritan woman, the Lord knows our deepest needs and our need for fulfillment that only he can truly satisfy. Isn't it interesting that we live in a society where so many people feel dissatisfied? People are always searching for more. In fact, the Alpha course begins with that line. Have you ever been in that place where you've wondered, there's got to be more than this? Well, there is. And you're searching and searching, and only Jesus has the answers. Our world deceptively tells us to seek after wealth and glory, work, more work, empty dreams. The enemy continues to deceive by telling us that his poor substitutes will satisfy the craving inside of us. But we have to remember that it is in Christ we have everything necessary to be complete, to be content and fulfilled. Jesus called himself living water because he and only he is the sustenance our souls require for life. John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." That's how much we need Jesus. For we all have an emptiness within, a longing for something more. What are you today attempting to satisfy it with? And may I encourage you, challenge you, turn to Jesus. And trust that he knows how to fulfill you. And to be saved, we must individually receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then we can know and experience God's love and plan for our lives. That is an individual choice no one can make for you. And I pray today that you have made that choice to follow Jesus. Jesus is waiting for you with living water. Seek him. Now, spiritually, this world, again, is a desert place. And sadly, some today, like those whom Peter condemns in this chapter, profess to have what a thirsty soul needs, but they teach only things which will leave one empty and dry. Instead of giving the word of God, instead of giving the gospel of Jesus Christ, they spread hollow and empty words. You know, second law, Peter not only says that these false teachers are like springs without water, but then he goes on to say they are mists driven by a storm. Mists driven by a storm. You know, mists are temporal. They are easily blown away in the wind and they vanish. So imagine with me again, being in a land that is experiencing a drought. You desperately need rain. Your crops are drying up. Your well is going dry. And finally, you see in the distance big, tall, dark clouds on the horizon. And you get excited because you realize the storm is coming and it's getting closer and closer. And finally, there's going to be rain. You can feel the wind coming off it. It finally arrives, but it is just that, wind and dark clouds. No rain, just some mist driven by the wind. And again, Peter gives us this picture to warn us against these false teachers that are like mists in a strong wind. The wind blows and they're gone. You cannot count on them. You try to put your trust in them, and when you think you need them most, they're missing and they've moved on. They have no firm rooting in God whatsoever. So what do they give? Well, again, verses 18 to 19 reminds us what these false teachers give us in terms of words. They mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the sinful nature, that's why so many will follow what they say. There's a part of them, that sinful part of them, that finds their words attractive. But they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. So when it comes to false teachers, they give a promise of just what you think you need. But when it really comes down to it, there is nothing there. They cause great excitement, but they bring nothing of substance. And most horrible of all, Peter goes on to say, they are ones for whom is reserved blackest darkness. Blackest darkness. The thickest gloom of all. Eternal darkness. And this great and terrible prison, hell itself, was originally built for the devil and his angels, but will eventually house all who, in disobedience, refuse the Lord's mercy through Christ and reject Jesus as the only way, truth, and life. So false teachers eventually reveal their true identity, just as the well-known statement says in verse 22, and perhaps you've heard this before. Verse 22 says, of them, of these false teachers, the proverbs are true, a dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. The point of both proverbs here is that the evil nature of these false teachers remains. Peter gives us again a glimpse of what truly motivates them and where they're truly at. They're slaves themselves to their own sinful nature. So through Peter, the Holy Spirit has given us these words in chapter 2, and he's given them to us in love to protect us from false teachers, false ideas, false thinking, so that we won't go down the path of destruction that they are traveling. So be careful who it is that you listen to. Stand on God's word. Filter everything that you hear through God's word. If we hear false teaching, and if we see someone leading others down a path of sin, then by all means, let's call them on it. Let's not be silent. Let's be faithful to confront falsehood with the word of truth. But let's also be careful how we speak of those who, while in error, are still made in the image of God, need to be reconciled and repent and turn to God. You know, as we close, let us never forget, again, as I said earlier, discernment begins where? With the Bible and with the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Trust completely in the reliable word of God. Rejoice also confidently in Jesus alone as your all-sufficient Savior. You'll never go wrong if you do. We have a precious, precious faith that Peter refers to at the beginning of this letter. And we have this precious faith all because of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. You know, today we begin Holy Week. On this Palm Sunday, we turn our attention to Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. Thousands of people, picture this with me, lined on either side of the road, shouting out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Save us. Deliver us. Jesus came as a humble servant to save us all. Jesus came to take your sin and mine, our shame on the cross, so that we would be forever free from the penalty and power of sin. Come today and let Jesus make the ultimate triumphal entry into your heart. And perhaps before you leave, don't leave without repenting of your sins and turning to God for forgiveness if you have gotten away from that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And we are praying that many more people will say yes to Jesus and receive this very precious faith. Jesus said, as you see on the screen behind me, my sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me. This very moment, I do believe with all my heart that Jesus is speaking to you. He is ready to guide you if you will follow his leading. I'm going to invite our musicians to come up. And as they come up, I'd like you to join me as we look to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to save us. Jesus, you came to this earth to seek and save that which is lost. And Lord, our prayer is that you would open the hearts of the lost so that they will on this day repent of their sins and turn to you, Lord, for salvation. Help us, Lord, to understand what you meant when you said, except the man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your guidance. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us as we read your word, Lord, that we can understand it and help us not only in understanding but in applying it to our lives. Lord, for your word leads us in truth. Lord, forgive us when we have gone ahead of your plans and help us to know when to stop and listen for your guidance and for your direction. Thank you, God, that your ways are always perfect. We thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.